Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it out to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'There's the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, 'He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time.' Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures the stones that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produce the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone who falls.' When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard these parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. Today's reading sounds to me like an eviction notice. An eviction notice that Jesus is telling God is going to give the Jewish people, the scribes and the Pharisees that he was speaking to in the temple, because this is part of that same text that we read last week, because they are not doing their job. And he tells them in a form of a parable, the parable being that there was this vineyard owner, which a lot of these scribes and Pharisees were, because they had money and they had parcels of land that they owned. Set up a whole vineyard. He, you know, made a watchtower, and he had it all figured out. And once he had it set up, he took in some tenants to work the land. And at that time, the agreed time, they would turn around and give the produce back. They would share the produce 50-50. And here in the United States, we had a similar kind of program where one owner would buy a farm. Another person would live on the farm and work the farm. And at some point, they would turn around at an agreed time, they would split the profits. So this was called crop sharing, whichever way you want to say it. And so the idea was that one would work, and then the other one, since he was the owner, would share the profits. But the gospel today says that when they sent the servants to pick up their produce, to pick up their share of the crops, that they were mistreated. One of them was killed. Another one was thrown out and beaten up. And so the owner of the vineyard decided, well, let me send some other folks. And I did the same thing to the servants that went. Finally, he says, let me send my son. At least they'll respect my son. And so he sent his son, and they were saying to themselves, well, look, now that his son is here, we can kill him and take the inheritance. And so this is a story that Jesus is putting on to these leaders, these religious Sadducees and Pharisees and the chief priests and so forth. And then he asks the question, well, what do you think the owner of the vineyard will do? And they say, well, they're definitely going to throw these guys out and give it to others. Now, most of us don't really know what sharecropping is, perhaps, or how that actually works in its, you know, minor details. But I think what we're getting at, and what we really get, is a story that Jesus is trying to communicate. And that is that if you don't pay the rent when time comes, you're going to lose out. And the idea is that there's something that you have to pay. You have to be responsible for what you have in your life. And so he's telling the Jewish people there, you have been abusing the privilege and the lease that God has given you in terms of the temple, in terms of the land, in terms of the religion, in terms of the relationship that God has given you. You have kind of taken it for granted, and now you're using it to exploit others, you're using it to abuse others and to benefit yourself. And Jesus tells them, God is going to replace you and give people the land who will produce something from it. Now, when I read that, I get nervous because it reminds me of life. We're on lease, really, when you think about it. Our lives are only a temporary moment in this cycle of life in the universe. We're here temporarily, and we really own nothing. And the lessons we have to remember is that what we have in our lives is things that are borrowed, things that we have temporarily, because everything belongs to God, in a sense. Everything, the air, the earth, the sun, the universe, everything that's around us belongs to God. And what we have, we are just stewards in a sense. We are people that help pass along what we have in our lives. And what we do is that the biggest fear we confront in our lives is that very issue of death. It's a very profound question that we wrestle with. It creates a sense of anxiety and a sense of dread within us that we don't really want to face. We don't face the idea of death, and we don't see our lives as terminating. We don't see ourselves as moving on and going to maybe another stage of life. And because of that, our anxiety causes us to hold on to things. Our anxiety forces us to be anxious and to be competitive and to see others as adversary and to see others as wanting to take what we have. And what it creates is a divisive kind of environment, an adversarial environment, where we see each other as enemy and as other that we have to compete with. So the whole idea of the gospel is to remind us that we are just a fleeting moment in this life, and that what we have is a responsibility with this fleeting moment and consequences for what we do and what we pass on to our generations. So Jesus tells us God will take away that which you are not doing and give it to someone else that is doing well. It frightens me because I say to myself, am I living my life the right way? Am I living it according to the guidance of God? Or do I take life into my own hands to the degree that I am the arbiter and I set the rules and that I determine how my life is going to be to such an extent that I exclude God from that and I exclude my family or neighbors from that, the rest of the world? It's a real deep question that Jesus is raising. What do you do with the time that you have on this earth? What do you do with the precious moments that you have, that each moment comes and goes as a fleeting grace? And if we don't recognize that this is part of who we are and this is the way we live our lives, we are living in denial of that reality. You know, when I studied philosophy, they say in philosophy is a training for death. And the idea behind it is that when you think philosophical, you recognize your temporal, finite situation in your life and that death is an inevitable reality. And then you begin from there. You begin from that fact that you will die. You begin from that fact that you are finite, that you are temporary. And then you live out your life to the fullest. You live your life completely with an open and embracing reality, recognizing the complexities of life, the different challenges that will come against you, the different interruptions to your life that you have to grapple with, but all for the sake of learning and growing through them, to be able to understand the big picture of what it is to be a human being and what it is to be a part of the larger reality that God has created. If we try to usurp it, if we try to control it, if we try to dominate it and own it, what we do is we rob ourselves from the richness that is available by simply giving it up, by simply going along with life and allowing life to teach us and broaden us and expand us. There are people that get broken in life because they want to fit the realities of life, the experiences of life, into the small frame of how they perceive things. You ever see people that have that frame of reference in their life? Life is supposed to be one way, or I have my values, or I have my ethics, and life is supposed to be this way. When it isn't, I get frustrated. And instead of accommodating myself to life, I try to push life into it. It's like taking a big picture and trying to squeeze it into a small frame. You can't do it. And some people get so desperate, they cut the edges of the picture to fit the frame. And what do you get? You get a partial life. You get a reduced reality. You don't have the same relationship with the grander, the larger teachings that can open us up and free us into being part of the large things. So Jesus tells him it's going to be taken away from you and given to other people. It's also the way Matthew is trying to convince the people at his time when he wrote the book of the Gospel of Matthew to encourage them. That you are now this new generation. You are now this new people that are going to bring the new understanding of God into the world. You're going to produce the fruits that perhaps he thinks the other people were not producing. And so it's up to you now to bring the fruits, to manifest the love of God, the peace and presence of his Spirit in all that we do. And in a sense, that's what we need to hear today. We need to hear this message more than ever because we are falling into a sense of adversarial and doom and pessimism all over and anger. We need to hear that it's up to us to really redeem the world, to redeem the situation and the moment at hand that calls us out to be able to do something that turns the tide from which we're falling into, a dark and deep pessimistic tide. We need to hear the words of Jesus that you are the ones that will produce fruit. You are the ones that will produce life and hope again for the rest of us. And that means that you have to then witness to that. It means that you have to live towards that reality. And not live just for yourself, but to live to see the larger reality around us. Other people, their strifes, their pain, their shortcomings, their insecurities. And try to do something about it. Not just live in a private island for myself. Not just, you know, the famous parable that Jesus uses in this gospel is the guy who had a bumper crop. Do you remember? He had a real bumper crop and his barns were not big enough to fit all the fruits and vegetables that he was able to grow. So what did he do? He knocked all the barns down and made huge ones. And then took all the stuff and put it into the barns. And he said, now I can kick back and now I can eat and relax for many years to come. And God says, you are a fool because tonight your soul is going to be demanded from you. And what are you going to do with all those goods? Where are they going to go? What did it mean for you to have all of this stuff and now have your life taken away? What is it worth to win the world and lose your soul, Jesus tells him. So this is a parable that we have to take into consideration that aggregating riches or power or wisdom or finance, it's not what we are supposed to be. Our minds have to be shifted in a sense that we have to see each other as the object and goal of our being, that we need to work together as a community and lift us up out of this anxiety. The anxiety of being, the anxiety of being alone, the anxiety of being a finite individual. There's nothing that can take that away except the relationship with another. There's nothing that can take away that anxiety, that angst of being, unless we are in relationship with one another and through that relationship experience the wonderful God. Nothing else can take that anxiety away, and nothing else can give us permission to be able to free ourselves, to explore, to expand, to create what we can possibly be and do. And our lives are not over just because we're in retirement age. You know, even if we have money, our lives are not over. You never end. Your life is always a creative evolvement. You are evolving into the spirit, into God's world and God's reality. There's nothing that will limit you except yourself. You're the only one that stops it. You're the only one that puts it in a box or puts it behind bars and freezes yourself because you're too afraid to live. You're too afraid to be out there. You're too afraid to gamble your life for the sake of gaining your life, as Jesus says. So today the challenge is very clear. Do we live a life based on what we've learned in the past and we protect that past and we live in the past and don't want to get into the future? Or can we step out? Can we try something new? Can we experience something that's different in our lives so that we can find out the new levels of life and the new levels of myself or yourself? You don't know who you are or can be until you're in a different situation. And then when you respond out of the situation, you find out you had the gifts, you had the talent, you had the will, you had the presence of God to help you through that. So Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, these religious elites, the religious elites who were so disconnected from the people that the only way they communicated through the people was through propaganda, manipulation, falsehoods, bad news, anything you want to call it. These people were communicating in order to manipulate them to believe what they had because they had no relationship with them. Jesus calls them false people. And the religion false. But he's inviting us to stand up and be in a relationship with God and each other that bears fruit. What kind of fruit? How about compassion, reconciliation? How about understanding, space, love, wisdom? How about the freedom just to be? How about being able to be encouraged to try something new in your life? How about just loving each other and not worrying about how the person is going to dominate you with their expectations or ruin you with their definitions? Why not just be? Why are we always living against something and not with something? We're always so afraid and so caught up in this chat. We compete with each other to the point that we reduce each other to just nothing. Why not listen? Why not understand? Why not learn? Why not embrace what other people are and do? You know, the world can really be better. It could really be good. I mean, isn't it amazing? Sometimes we have natural catastrophes and people gather around each other. They help each other out. And you say, man, this is so nice. These people are actually coming out. And people say, oh, I love the community. I love the fact that they're helping each other, that this guy's bringing out the bread and this guy's bringing out the milk. Why can't we do that on a regular basis? What prevents us from being this way? It's that fear. We are fear-based. Our life is rooted in the fear that we are not enough, that we don't have enough, that God is ours and nobody else's. And Jesus is shattering that. He's in the temple. He kicked these guys out of the temple. Remember when he went into the temple and turned the tables over? He took over. The man took over. And they were trying to dislodge him. And this was why they were challenging him. And he comes back with parables and he says, no, he had to be victorious there. He had to stand in the temple and change the whole atmosphere of the temple. Can we do that in our own lives? Can we stop living against each other? And maybe start living with each other, open to each other, alongside each other, respecting each other. Why do we criticize so much? Really think about it. There's no fruits that come out of that kind of relationship. But a relationship where you honor each other, respect each other, encourage each other, there's the fruit of life. There's the true meeting. There's the true healing. There's real life that happens in those moments. And this is what our hearts yearn for. This is what we want more than anything else. We don't want to come and meet intellectually and argue ideologically with each other. I mean, that has its own allure. It doesn't satisfy the soul. It doesn't touch the essence of who we are, and it doesn't address the anxiety of being that we wrestle with and walk with in our lives. So Jesus says, only the ones who give fruit. And there, the other part of my fear is, am I doing a good job? Am I encouraging us as a community to live that truth, to be a community, to figure out how to work with each other even though we disagree, to figure out how to understand each other even though we think that other person is attacking us? As a community, we've got to figure out how to hold the tension between ourselves and find a way to move beyond that. And that's my fear. I mean, in this community alone, we have people from various ideologies. And if I say one specific argument against something, 90% of you will walk away. It's really scary to have to preach about truth and love in the midst of a very divisive world. So how do you do it? You go underneath. You go underneath and you reach and you say, where is it that you really do connect? And it's the need to love each other. It's the need to be with each other. It's the need to understand, to be understood. These are the things that we need. And this is where I fear I may not be doing a good job. Some people might be angry in this community for one thing or the other. They might take a position and leave. Why? I always invited a good, clean fight. Let's fight about it. You know why? I'll fight you because I love you. If I don't care about you, you can leave. I'd rather fight than lose you. Why don't we fight instead of losing each other? But fight for the truth. Fight for the reconciliation. Fight for the meaning that you build together. This is what this community is about, and I hope will continue to be, because we are the fruits of God's love, and we will be the fruits of God's work. Amen? Amen.